That I can't tell you about that shock. But... Wow. All right, let us pray. Father, we want to bless your holy name for this morning. Thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for your grace, Lord, that abounds towards us. Thank you for your great mercies. Thank you for your great riches, Lord, of wisdom and your precious Holy Spirit, Lord, that abounds with us all the time. We pray, Father, that this morning your will shall be done in this service and in this gathering, Lord. Show yourself mighty on our behalf. Show yourself great, Lord, through your word, through the sharing, Lord, of your word. I pray, Father, that your will shall be done. Thank you for this privilege that we have to be in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow, God bless you. Put your hands together as you take your seat in his holy presence. Hallelujah. Wow, what a shock. I think when I go home, I'll tell them about the shock. That the shock I can't tell you. I have to go and confess it when I get back. Hallelujah. But it's a great privilege and blessing to see all of you. We've heard about the church in San Ramon. I've always, Oakland, always desire to see it, and I'm blessed to be here, and I thank God for the life of my dear friend Bishop Joel. You know, I don't get the chance to call him Bishop Joel except from the pulpit. I have all kinds of other names except Bishop Joel, so it's a blessing to say Bishop Joel. Man, what a name. What a name, what a name. I used to call him BJ, where the B means something else, but at least the B has been converted into Bishop. So now he's a real BJ, a real Bishop Joel. Thank God for his life and his dear wife, Sister Sarah. Yeah, we've been through different phases of life, so we are very happy when we are together. When we are together, we are just happy to be with each other and to see how far the Lord has brought us, hallelujah, from nowhere cool to somewhere cool. You know, these are cooler seasons for us. So we are blessed to have such times. And it's a blessing to see all of you. Your choir sang beautifully. I mean, not to say that I was expecting something different, but I knew that Bishop Joel's church, everybody sings well in the church. So I'm blessed to have heard those beautiful voices, and especially the 5-time Grammy winner. You know, he sang so well. Okay, so I'll bring you greetings from the United Kingdom. I'm actually from Jamaica, Trinidad, and St. Lucia, where we had a camp convention and some other meetings. And trust Bishop Joel to tell me that St. Lucia is close to this place. And trust me to believe everything he says. Till I sat on the flight and I touched map, in-flight map. And I looked at where I was and where I was being taken to. And I said to myself, what have I done? What have I done? What have I done? You know, but he said to me that it's just across the water. I could even swim from St. Lucia to this place. But well, I'm blessed to be here all the same. Great. Turn your Bibles to, where would you like to turn your Bibles to this morning? Wherever I say. Okay, so turn your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 6. What a shock. I tell you, you don't know what shock is happening. Well, there's a shock in the air. All right, have you found Hebrews chapter 6? And I'm reading from verse 10, which says that, for God is not unjust, so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name. In having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. Hallelujah. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Well, the King James says that you do not be slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I believe that here we see a very important principle of life where God is teaching us, or the scripture is teaching us, to learn from other people. Hallelujah. One of the things that strikes me most here is how the scripture says that do not be slothful before it says that learn from others. Because in other words, the scripture is suggesting to us that when it gets to learning or copying, don't be lazy, or don't be slow, or don't be sluggish, or don't hold back, or don't be left as somebody who hasn't learned what he has to learn. There are several things that we are quick at catching and we are quick at doing. You know, one day I was reading the Financial Times, and there was so much, it was reporting on how people are criticizing Samsung, that they've been copying Apple with the tablet and all that. And Samsung had replied to say that we are not copycats, we are rather fast followers. You understand? You see, so I read, when I read that, and I saw that they're saying they are fast followers, and I remember the scripture which says that don't be slothful. That is, don't be slow. Don't be sluggish. When it gets to following, be a fast follower. Be somebody who follows fast. Now, interestingly, we follow fast when it gets to some things like fashion, and, you know, we are very fast in it. You know, we change our hairstyles very fast. We change our clothes very fast. We change our shoes very fast. But there are other things in life that we can also learn and catch up very, very, very fast. We have to be fast in catching up. We have to be fast in learning. And we have to be fast in learning spiritual things and spiritual principles to receive instruction from people that have succeeded. Because the scripture is actually saying that those, be followers of them who through faith and patience did inherit the promises. That is, they succeeded. They made it. They made it. They made it. They were successful. They made it. So in your life, you must have a catalog of successful people that you are learning from and that you are receiving from. You must actually have a list of people who have made it, who did well, so that you can glean some instructions from them. You know, like Samsung will say that, it's like we are not fools to just sit there and see somebody inventing something where the whole world is excited about, it's helping the business world, everybody is excited about that. We are just sitting there and just watching on. Say, rather, we are going to be fast followers. We're going to be, when it gets to following, we're going to be fast. We're going to catch up very fast, learn very fast, and also bring up what we can also come up with. So in your Christian life, this morning, I believe that you must also have people, several of them, several different types of people in different areas of your life that you are ready and willing to receive from and to learn from, so that your life can improve greatly. You know, when you learn things just for yourself, based on your personal experiences, you will make some progress, but your progress will be very slow. So in order to have a faster way of making progress and advancing in life, you have to learn from others. When you learn from others, you do better. You move faster. You appear more experienced than you really are, because you are tapping into somebody's experience. And you are living somebody's life that he has lived already. So you appear better, you sound wiser, you sound more experienced than you really are. Hallelujah. So I think that we can look at one person who is what? Who is a Christian? This morning, and just learn a couple of things from this wonderful person, and will be out of here. Hallelujah. Amen. What a shock. Are you sharing in my shock? Okay. How many of you are going to prepare a catalog of people that you're going to learn from? Going to learn from. Otherwise, your progress is going to be very, I promise you, you would live and die and you wouldn't have achieved a lot of things. I mean, there'll be so many things you wouldn't have, you will not be able to accomplish if you are just going to live at the rate at which you are learning and experience things in your life. You have to find somebody and see how the person has succeeded and say, look, I'm going to live by this person's principles and advance in life and search forward in life at top speed. You have to search forward. You have to move forward by copying other people. You have to copy. You have to search forward, to search forward, to move forward with strength. With strength and with conviction. You see, as soon as you see somebody has tried something and the person has done well with it, it gives you a certain conviction that you wouldn't have when you are now going to try it out.
That's true.
Because when you're going to try something, you're not sure whether it will succeed or not. It becomes a trial, what we call trial and error. Trial and error. We used to write our flow charts. Trial and error. We say from step one, step two, step three, then failure. So restart. Then you move again. And then it succeeds. Then you move to next level. We used to have charts like that. You see, it's a slower pace of succeeding in life. But when you see somebody who has done that, you know that this formula worked. When you are doing it, you have greater conviction. You have some strength to do. You have strength to that this formula works. So it's going to work for me. The reason why you will need to copy, so you will have strength within yourself to do a lot of things and to fight a lot of things in your life. Without it, it's going to be trial and error. Every time when you move, you'll be asking yourself questions. Is it going to work? Is it not going to work? Am I going to make it? Am I not going to make it? Will I be okay? Will I not be okay? When it works out, then you are happy. When it doesn't work out, then you have to try something else. But when you know who has done and they have succeeded, who have inherited which promise, how did they inherit the promises, then you know what to do with conviction and with strength. Hallelujah. So turn your Bibles to Ruth, the book of Ruth. You know there's a book called Ruth in the Old Testament. Hallelujah. And we thank God for all mothers today. We celebrate you. We are happy you gave birth to us. And we are excited that you are giving birth to some more. And loving all of us. So I want us to look at a wonderful mother in the Bible called Naomi. Hallelujah. And learn something for her for our Christian life. Amen. For our Christian life. Are you excited about that? So, Ruth, I said Naomi chapter 1. Ruth chapter 1. I usually preach for a short time. I'm not like Bishop Joel. He preaches for a long time. So, you will see after today that you wish I'll come and preach to you all the time. He preaches a long time. I preach for a short time. He preaches well on Sundays. I preach well on Tuesdays. So when we're in the same church, it was very easy to share the church. He had the Sunday congregation and I had the Tuesday congregation. So to date, I only go to church on Tuesdays. Sundays are a shock for me to preach. So my sermons on Sundays are even shorter. Have you found Ruth chapter 1? Look, if I'm wrong after the service, tell me that, look, you preach longer than him. I am telling you that you will discover that there are people who have only 3 points on Sunday morning. By the way, what time is this service supposed to end? It's already ended. Really? Is it endless? When the first person gets out, then I'll know that. I'll know that the end is nigh. Okay, Ruth chapter 1. And what language was that? Now it came about in the days when the judges governed that there was a famine in the land. And the certain man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the land of Moab with his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi. And the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem in Judah. Now they entered the land of Moab and remained there. Then Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They took for themselves Moabite women as wives. The name of one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they lived there about 10 years. Then both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and the woman was bereft of her two children and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters in law, that she might return from the land of Moab, for she had heard in the land of Moab that the Lord had visited his people in giving them food. So she departed from the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. And Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. May the Lord grant that you may find rest, each in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, but we will surely return with you to your people." Are you in church with me? But Naomi said, "Return, my daughters. Why should you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Return, my daughters. Go, for I am too old to have a husband. If I said I have hope, if I should even have a husband tonight and also bear sons, would you therefore wait until they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is harder for me than for you, for the hand of the Lord has gone forth against me." Hallelujah. Now, the first thing that I want us to see about Naomi is that she was somebody who would give practical advice. Hallelujah. She was someone who would give practical advice. In other words, Naomi could have just decided that, look, these are the wives of my children. I'll just hang on with them and live on with them if they want to be with me. Because it's nice for people to say that I want to be with you. How many of you realize that it's nice for people to say I want to be with you? Whether it's to your advantage or to your disadvantage. Once somebody wants to be with you, you're excited and you are happy about it. But Naomi was not like that. She had the interest of her daughters-in-law at heart. And she was giving them practical advice, something that they can actually live with and can actually help them to improve their lives. Very often, people don't give practical advice. People, when they are giving you advice, give you advice based on what they will get out of it, what will work out for them, and what will be a blessing to them. That's how people talk. That's what people say to others. When you are talking to people, especially when you go to some of these places, these secular places, and people are talking to you, you wonder that, do they really like you? Do they really like you? Do they really have your interests at heart? When they give you advice, do this. I remember one day, my bank manager came on visitation. She came to my house to visit me. And, you know, as she came, I was wondering, when she called me and said to me that she wants to come and visit me. Initially, I felt loved. I said, this lady must really like me. I mean, to come on visit, because I know it's pastors who go on visitation. Pastors and midwives. These are the two group of people I know go on visitation. But a bank manager, I mean, she said she was coming to visit me. And she came. And I gave her a glass of water. And she drank. But she sat there and she was talking, we're talking. In about 15 minutes to our conversation, I said to myself, this lady doesn't like me. This lady doesn't. She doesn't. She hasn't got my interest at heart. Because she is working. She's come to work and to get more money. So as she was advising things, I mean, she was making some offers. I was saying that, look, you could have just told her, look, do I mind coming to your office to discuss how to have this, how to do this? Why do you come to my house to soften my heart? Because her existence is softened my heart. That this lady must really like me. I mean, it's like this bank, they really like their customers. I mean, they are very nice to their customers. They are very friendly, very warm. But as she started talking and offering packages that will put me into trouble for the rest of my life. I just said to myself that this lady doesn't like me at all. I mean, doesn't like me at all. And that's the only time she's visited me. If she really liked me, she should have come again. But she hasn't come in again. You see, so what I'm saying to you is that when you see people and they are offering advice, even they are offering advice, the advice is usually not practical. And it's also not in your interest. They don't have your interest at heart. But here Naomi is being an example to us that when you are talking to people and you are giving advice to people, make sure that you have their interest at heart. Not just their interest, but give them practical advice. Practical, something that they can do and something that can be done and something that they can live with and something that will turn out to their advantage. That's why she was saying to them that, look, even if you follow me, even if I permit you to follow me, which is nice if you would follow me, when will I find a husband, number one? Even if I get one today, when will I get pregnant? When will I give birth? And when will those children grow up for you to marry them? And will they even like you? It's not practical. How many of you realize that it's not practical? It's not practical. And sometimes some of the advice we give, some of the advice we receive, it may sound nice, but it's not practical. It may sound nice, it may sound exciting, that do this, do that. Why don't you do this? Why don't you try? Some of those things sound exciting. Some of those, somebody cares about you. But ask yourself that good question, that this advice that I'm receiving, is it practical? Is it practical? Is it doable? Can I do it? Can I do it? And where is it going to lead me? What will I get out of it? Is it going to work out for me? Is it going to work out for my good? Am I going to inherit the promise as I am being promised? Will I ever have in my hand the promise that is being made to me? Because many promises that people make, it just sounds nice. It sounds nice. There are nice words, nice sayings, nice things that they say, but it's never realized. You never have it in your hand to hold that I have something practical and something nice. Sometimes I talk to the young people and I realize some of the courses they are choosing, some of the things they want to study. I want to do this. I want to do that. I want to do this. I want to do it. You see different things that are not practical. It doesn't amount to anything. It doesn't amount to anything. Once my daughter was telling me of a course she wanted to do. What was it? Fashion and something. And we've had a heated argument in the house. Well, not argument, but I've been talking. And she had agreed that she would do what we were telling her to do. But not knowing, she had changed her mind again. And then strangely, we had a family service. And she was sitting right there on the stage. And Bishop was preaching. And Bishop said, and some of you, when you get up, you say you want to study fashion and design. You have to study. Yeah, and she was sitting there. So she stretched her neck and looked at me. She thought I said anything, something to Bishop. I said, look, I haven't said anything to him. We've had no conversation. It's not even okay to us to even talk about you or to discuss anything about you. We've been discussing church planting and missionary work. Your name had not come up. But there she was, and she could see that what she had chosen and what she was trying to choose to do, it's not practical. It's not practical. You can't get, you see, it sounds nice. Some of the courses sound nice. They are nice names, nice things, but you never get to that place that you want to get to. You never earn that money you want to earn. You never get that job you want to get because you never receive practical advice, practical counsel. You never got somebody who had your interest at heart to speak to you that don't do this, do that instead. Hallelujah. 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 Number two, let's read from verse 14. How many of you are going for practical advice? You're going for practical advice. You have to see things that can be realized. Things that can actually happen in your life, can happen in your life. Not things that sound nice. Not things that sound sweet. Not things that sound good. Hallelujah. Sisters, amen.
Amen.
Okay. And they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. Then she said, behold, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or to turn back from following you. Can you see following there? For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. Thus may the Lord do to me, and worse, if anything but death parts you and me. And she saw that she was determined to go with her. She said no more to her. So they both went until they came to Bethlehem. And when they had come to Bethlehem, all the city was stirred because of them. And the woman said, is this Naomi? She said to them, do not call me Naomi. Call me Mara, for the Almighty has dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why do you call me Naomi? Since the Lord has witnessed against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me. So Naomi returned and with her Ruth, the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, who returned from the land of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem at the beginning of the barley harvest. Hallelujah. Chapter 2 is where our next revelation shall be. Are you there with me?
Yes.
Wow. Are you there? Are you in church?
Yes.
Now Naomi had a kinsman of her husband and a man of great wealth. That's chapter 2 verse 1. Of the family of Abimelech, whose name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabite said to Naomi, please let me go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after one in whose sight I may find favor. And she said to her, go, my daughter. So she departed and went and gleaned in the field after the reapers, and she happened to come to the portion of the field belonging to Boaz, who was of the family of Elimelech. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, may the Lord be with you. And they said to him, may the Lord bless you. Then Boaz said to his servant, who was in charge of the reapers, whose young woman is this? The servant in charge of the reapers replied, she is the young Moabite woman who returned with Naomi from the land of Moab. Are you coming along?
Yes.
And she said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. Thus she came and has remained from the morning until now. She has been sitting in the house for a little while. Hallelujah. Permit me to jump a little bit to my verse. Verse 19. Her mother-in-law said to her, where did you glean today? Where did you work? May he who took notice of you be blessed. Wow. Wow. Can you see what she's saying there? So she told the mother-in-law with whom she had worked and said, the name of the man with whom I work today is Boaz. Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, may he be blessed of the Lord who has not withdrawn his kindness to the living and to the dead. Again, Naomi said to her, the man is our relative. He is one of our closest relatives. Then Ruth the Moabite said, furthermore, he said to me, you should stay close to my servants until they have finished all my harvest. Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that you go out with the maids so that others do not fall upon you in another field. Now, another thing that Naomi is doing that we can learn from Naomi is that she is again giving advice that meets the very need of the person that she's with. She knows that her daughter-in-law, who is now she's calling her daughter, is in need of a husband. So you can see that she's trying to make straight paths for the feet of Ruth and for the ways of Ruth. So she's saying that, look at the, you know, the point that we read and you all shouted, Where is that bit again? Verse 19, where do you glean today? Where do you wear today? May he who took notice of you be blessed. May he who took notice of you be blessed. There are different needs in life and different things that we would like to have, but there are some that are very significant and very key. That you will find favor with somebody, that somebody will take notice of you. You see, an experienced person will know that in life you need somebody who will take notice of you. Somebody who will take, in other words, someone who will take interest in you, that you, I can work with you. You, I can like you. You can do something. You see, sometimes even as pastors, when we come to church, it's about favor. It's about favor. You see that you come to church and then suddenly you take interest in a brother. As you are preaching, you say, this brother who is wearing glasses, I seem to like him. I seem to want him. I would like to be with him. And you wonder, who is he? How come? But see, it's a blessing that comes on you that you see somebody and you just like the person. And you know that by the grace of God, you have powers of the grace to change and to affect that person's life. So the closer the person comes to you, the better a life the person will get. So Naomi has that understanding that whoever you are connected to, whoever you relate with, is going to affect your life either for the better or for the worse. So he's saying that, look, blessed is the person who took notice of you. That is, blessed is the person whom you receive favor from. If you see someone sees you, the person says, I like you. Not just for marriage. But I like you. I like you. You know, I worked in a place. My boss liked me. She was called Helen. She liked me. She liked me till I left. It was from that job that I came full time. I called her about a year after I've been in full time ministry. And she said to me that, Richie, you know what? Anytime you decide to come back, just call me. I'll take you back. I had favor in her eyes. Blessed is that lady who took notice of me. Blessed is that person who took notice of me. Blessed is that person. And blessed shall you be that someone will take notice of you. That somebody will say, you are like you. To give you a job, to give you an opportunity, to do something for you, to give you admission, to help you have something. But see, this is an experienced woman explaining to her child, perhaps not in so many words, but saying to her that it's a blessing when somebody takes notice of you. It's a blessing. It's so much of a blessing that we bless that person who is going to give you the favor. Because favor is one of the things that you need in life. One of the things you need in this life is something called favor. That somebody would take to liking you. That I like you. I like you. I don't know why, but I like you. I don't know why, but I find you attractive. I don't know why, but when I saw you, I feel like helping you. I feel like doing something for you. I feel like praying for you. I feel like talking to you. I would like to talk to you. I like, Pastor will come to you and say, after church, can you see me, brother? After church, can you see me? I'd like to know you. I'd like to talk to you. You don't know why. You don't know why, but God has put it in his heart to like you and to want to talk to you and to want to give you counsel and to want to give you advice, which you will need greatly, greatly to change your life. If somebody didn't like you, somebody didn't choose you, you wouldn't be here today. Your life wouldn't be a certain way today. Your life wouldn't be what it is today. Your life wouldn't be how it is today. Hallelujah. When I joined Lighthouse, I realized that Bishop Saki noticed me. Okay. I don't know why he noticed, but he noticed me. After every service, he would say hello to me. Then I noticed that presiding bishop also noticed me. He also noticed me. He also told him that, will you do this? Will you like to do this? I remember when he came to my house one afternoon. I was at home and I was told, your pastor is looking for you. And I said, are you sure? So I looked out of the window and I saw him standing there. And I said, how? What does he want? Why is the pastor in my house? But he was right there standing outside. And I've just come to the church. I said, how come he's out there? So I went out to meet him. And he said, what are you doing? I said, I'm free. I'm not doing anything. He said, let's go out. And we walked out. He was not even driving that day. So he stood by the roadside and he stopped a taxi. And when he stopped the taxi, I was going to sit in the front whilst he sits at the back. And he said, no, come and sit by me at the back. Wow. What a blessing. I mean, the conversation we had that day at the back of that taxi, it can only be the favor of God. It can only be God who has touched somebody's heart to say that, I like this person. I want this person. I'm interested in this person. It can only be the arrangement of God and God's arrangement. So you see, Naomi is saying that if somebody likes you, it's a blessing. That person who liked you must be blessed. That one of the things you need in your life is for somebody to like you. It's for somebody to choose you. It's for somebody to want you. Because look, you can have so many qualifications, so many talents and so many abilities. If somebody doesn't like you, somebody doesn't like you. You don't amount to anything. Someone doesn't choose you. Someone doesn't say that I like you. I would want you. I'm interested in your CV. I'm interested in your qualification. I've seen you, but I like you. Nobody says that to you. You'll be there forever and ever. Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever you'll be there, and there'll be no difference in your life. You could be the greatest singer in the world. Nobody likes you. You will never sing in church. You will never hold the microphone and sing. Like the lady who was singing this morning, somebody must like her. Somebody must have liked her to give her the microphone. In case she doesn't know, I'm announcing it to her. I'm telling her, in case she doesn't know, somebody must have liked her to tell her that, look, we are giving the whole song to you. The whole song, then we are just going to arrange about six people behind you just to do ooh, as different parts of the song. And you get to sing it all. You get to sing, because in a typical place, you see that you sing part, somebody else will sing part, and then they'll make the rest a chorus that the whole choir will sing. But that's why we gave it to you, and you stood here, and you sang from beginning to end. Hey! Somebody must like you. Somebody must have really liked you and to have favored you. I had a lady who used to sing for me, and she moved to Ghana. After that, I realized that I didn't even know that so many people would like to sing for me, but I had several calls, several texts, applications. I'm telling you. It's like you are looking for a beloved and people are applying. So many ladies in the church will send me a text. Bishop, I can sing for you. Bishop, can I sing for you? Bishop, I would like to sing for you. Bishop, I wouldn't mind singing. I mean, so many different people. But it's only one person who can. It's only one person who can. One day I decided And I chose one person. All the people who sent the text and everything, I didn't say anything to them. When they send the text, I'll just say, wow. I'll just say, great. I'll just say, powerful. I'll just say, really. I'll just say, I had different responses. Wow, powerful, great, really. What a shock. I mean, people have never heard their voice before, but they send a text that they would like to sing before I preach. So I'll just say, wow. Powerful, really. This difference. But one day, one person in the church got favor. One day, God put in my heart that this lady can do it. This one can do it. And she was not even in Apache. She was in another branch. So I went all the way for her. Put my hand in the church, like you put your hand in your money and you take some. I put my hand in the church and I took her. I extracted her out of the church. But it's a favor of God. It's a favor of God. It's just God who is. It's just God who puts it in somebody's heart to like you, to want you, to choose you, to select you. It's just God who will put it inside. God will touch somebody's heart somewhere that choose this person, give this job to this person, marry this person, like this person. One day, one of my pastors, they have a grown-up daughter, and a brother in the church wanted to marry this wonderful daughter. And they were not happy. So they came to see me. And I said to them that, look, I said that one thing. I said to them, look, it's a blessing for somebody to want to marry your daughter. It's a blessing. It's a blessing. I said, have you seen this one? Have you seen this one? Have you seen this one? But yours. Yours. Somebody wants her. Somebody likes her. Somebody is all over her like a rash. So, please, allow her to be blessed so that one day she doesn't curse you. That because of you, she needs a miracle service. You need anointing oil. So this thing hasn't become an anointing oil problem. So just allow. Because I understood that for somebody to notice you, it's a blessing. It's a blessing to be noticed. Tell your neighbor, it's a blessing to be noticed. Tell the person, it's a blessing to be liked. And tell the person, it's a blessing to be chosen. And those who choose you, pray for them. Those who choose you, like Naomi, pray for the person who will choose Ruth. Say, blessed is the person who will notice you. It's like a blessing. May that life be blessed as they have chosen you and have their salary. It's a blessing. It's a blessing for you to be in church today. It's a blessing that God has chosen you. God has chosen that you go to church. That you serve God. It's a blessing, my brother. It's a blessing. That you are in church today, despite everything about you, everything, because you're a normal human being. So you must have problems. You must have issues. There must be an issue about you. I don't know you from Adam, but I'm sure there's an issue about you. But there are. It's not even there is, but there are. meaning two or more. There are issues about you, but still God has chosen you. And God has put it in your heart for you to find reason and sense in going to church. And here you are in the presence of God, serving God, loving God. Sunday morning, you've gone to church. Despite the issues that are in your life, you still love God and you are still in the house of God. Blessed is the one who will notice you. God has noticed you. God has noticed you and God has chosen you. And God has placed his hand on your life. To direct your life in a certain way and in a particular way. What a great blessing. What a great blessing. Stand to your feet and let's thank the name of the Lord. I told you I preach shorter. Please stand to your feet. We are done. Hallelujah. So when you follow Naomi, you will follow practical advice. Practical. Z, you will follow things that you can see clear results out of. Not abstract things. Not lovely things. and fashion design. You see, my little daughter was asking me yesterday that can she go on Facebook? And I replied with capital letters, no, never. Then she asked another question, can I have an iPhone? And I said, no, you can't. And she said, and I said to her, okay, there's an exam coming. If you pass it, you can have an iPhone. Then she said, no, I want Facebook. First, Facebook or iPhone? And I said, no. Yeah, then she said, okay, I should choose which one. Which one I should choose between them. I said, no, I'm not choosing. Pass this exam, and then I chose what you have. I said, no, she doesn't want that one. But I said, you can see that this is a child who is not practical. Who can't even see what you are trying to do for her? It's like I want Facebook. And then her last one that I didn't respond to was that I should let her go on Facebook, then she will pass the exam for me. That was the last one. That one, when it came, I said, I'm not going to answer this question. I'm ending this conversation now. I'm ending it right now. So you see, you can see that the person needs a Naomi type of person in her life to give her practical things that will help your life, things that will improve on your life. It will improve it. And may the Lord also give you favor. Lift up your two hands and ask God for favor, that God will bless you with favor and open windows and doors of favor for you. Blessed is the man who will notice you. Blessed is the person who will notice you. May you be noticed. May you be noticed. May you be noticed. May someone find interest in you. May somebody take interest in you. Perhaps you should even thank God that he has found you, he has taken interest in you to help you, to bring you to salvation, to bring you to church, to bring you into his presence. Let's thank him. Let's thanking God. Thanking God and asking God that may you find favor in your journey of life. In your journey of life as you move on. And as you travel, as you walk around, may you find favor. May favor come on you. May the favor of the living God come on you and come to you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father, we want to bless your name. We want to thank you, O God, for favor, Lord. We want to thank you for wisdom, for practical wisdom. We want to thank you, O God, for practical ideas, Lord, that shall change our lives, that shall make our lives fruitful, that shall make our lives successful. Thank you for practical counsel, O God, and practical decisions, Lord, that will cause us, O God, to receive blessings and receive promises and to see and to realize our hopes and our dreams, O God. Thank you, O God. We pray and we call, O God, that them that we meet, O God, and them that we interact with, O God, shall give us good counsel and good advice in this life, O God. We thank you, Father. We bless your holy name. Bless your holy name for the privilege of even being in church this Sunday morning. Thank you, Father, for your grace and for your great blessing in Jesus' name. While every eye is still closed and every head is still bowed, if you're here this morning and you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you want to say that, Pastor, pray with me. I want to give my life to Jesus. If you're here like that, say, Pastor, I pray with you. I want to give my life to Jesus. Just your right hand and I'll pray with you. Just your right hand. Can you just lift up your right hand and I'll pray with you. I want to give my life to Jesus this beautiful Sunday morning. Thank you, Father. Father, thank you. Father, we thank you for salvation and we thank you for the blessing of being in your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Oh, shout amen. Amen. Put your hands together and take your seats. Amen.